All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans, and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for joining us live today or catching our show after the fact. It's the week before Christmas, and today it's Christmas. Peter Criss's 80th birthday, so the whole Kiss FAQ community wants to wish Peter Criss a very happy birthday. And as I said in the little video we did for him, many happy returns of the day. 80 years, that's quite an accomplishment. It's the second guy I've gotten to celebrate their 80th this year, so it's a cool milestone for the male of the species. Wow. So very, very, very cool. So this episode is just to throw out some Peter Criss related songs. Obviously the big news this week is that yesterday Peter Criss released his long awaited, like 17 years awaited, solo album, the self-titled release, being distributed through Flatiron, and Silver Cat Records. 11 songs on the CD version, which comes in silver, black and white, and 10 on the vinyl edition. He did a signing yesterday in New York City, which from the video that I've seen of that seems to have been a wonderful event for all of those who were able to participate. Final thing on Peter's birthday is just a big thanks to everyone who was able to participate in the special birthday video for Peter. He actually posted it on his site if anyone wants to see those messages.
Oh, really?
Did a bit of editing on it. That's but cool. You know, everyone was very cool with just very sincere thoughts of appreciation for Peter and best wishes for his birthday. So it turned out to be a very cool little video. It didn't stretch into 5 hours long either, kept it very concise. So thank you to everyone who participated in that. Peter Criss, our top 10 kitty kisses. It's simply our favorite Peter Criss songs. I threw it out there. It could be Kiss. It could be Peter Criss solo. It could be demos. It could be, you know, even drum tracks or stuff like that. And now that Peter has played harmonica on a release, it could be your favorite Peter Criss harmonica if that is in your top 10. So how did everyone approach this? I got to start with Daniel because Daniel was way outside the box on this one, or he thought he was.
I thought I was, but obviously I wasn't. But I was thinking a lot of the Criss material from his solo career has been sadly overlooked, and many Kiss fans don't have actually a clue about that material, or they haven't listened to it in a very long time. So I thought this was the perfect opportunity to present some of the gems from his post-Kiss solo stuff. And then I mean from 1980 to 2007, those solo albums he did during that period of time. So I have picked 10 songs from that period.
Yeah, Lonnie, what about you? How did you approach picking your selections?
Well, I just, you know, I very simplistic, actually. You know, I just started thinking about Peter and you know, Black Diamond comes to mind right away and some others, you know, that are just classic Peter vocals. And, you know, I took some time to think about those solo albums of his, and I had some mixtures of those in there as well. So, but at the same time, I had to keep the drumming in mind as well, that I just didn't want to just pick Peter vocal songs. I do have one song on my list that just highlights his drumming, and I couldn't leave it off.
Awesome. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I think I approached it kind of like Lonnie, because I just thought of Peter. I thought of what immediately struck out when I think of him, his drumming, his vocal styles, and I went from there. I don't have a lot of his material on hand physically, so I streamed a lot of stuff the last couple of days and found that I liked a lot more stuff than I thought I did, so it was a good sign.
And Ken?
Yes. I didn't know what was going to come out of this when I first started picking songs, but I pretty much stuck to the 70s all the way to, I guess, the 1980, because that's the stuff I really love and enjoy. And what I listened to way back then. So that's what I kind of, it just ended up being that way. I know there's songs from other albums that I do enjoy, but that is the meat and potatoes, that stuff back in the 70s.
Yeah, I divide, since it was only 10 songs, I tried to divide it into Kiss, and then Chris solo, and then demo, and then live. And I wanted to kind of try and do it equally between them, but it just didn't work out that way. What was interesting in looking at everyone's picks was that the five of us came up with a list of 32 songs. So why don't we get the stats out of the way first? Because it's interesting to see how many of us agreed with one another and who did the worst in terms of their picks. So we'll start with the guy who did terribly in selecting anything that anyone else agreed with. Ken.
Hey, you know, do you want me to go down my list of songs?
No. No, I just want to set you up that you're all the songs that you talked about are going to be in the first part of the show, where we're talking about all the songs that only one person picked, because
that's blasphemy.
No, there's no wrong answers in any of this. So who did second worst? Well, Daniel, it was actually you. You know, five of your songs people agreed with and five we didn't. So
that's okay.
For Ken. Ken only had two songs that anyone else agreed with. Oh, so
I could probably tell you two. I know which two songs I bet too. Anyway,
we'll find out in a moment. But I was next in line with three songs that no one else agreed with, and then Mark with two. Lonnie, only one song didn't make the. Have someone agreeing with you. So Lonnie is the voice of reason in this episode.
Wow. The voice of Chris.
Yeah, so obviously it's tough to do with all of those. So I'm just going to go through the list of songs with one, and the person who picked that song, please raise your hand and just tell us why you selected that for your list.
Get ready,
Ken. There's no shame. First up is Ain't None of Your Business, the outtake from the Destroyer album. Mark, that was you.
Yes, that was me. I've always liked that song. I know it's very, you know, nothing too exciting, but there's something about that song that's always kind of caught my attention. I don't know if it's Peter's voice and his singing in it, but I've also liked that kind of the harmonization of that lick, that dan, dan, dan. And something about that kind of tone of it I've always kind of enjoyed. So I've always liked that song. And when we got a really good version of it on the box set, then I was even more vested in that song. So I really like that song.
Yeah, it's grungy, brooding, and angry. Anyone else want to say anything on why that was an awesome pick? Or I'll just move on.
You move on. It's a good song. I enjoy it.
Move On's a good song, too. All right. So next up is... let's play it. Who picked this?
Oh, no.
I met a lady dressed in black. She sure looked strange to me. I said, baby, where's a hot place to go? She said,
all right, Bad Boys, who was that?
That was my pick. Great to hear that song. That was actually my second favorite Peter Criss song of all his solo stuff. That's the demo version. That's pretty cool, but I prefer the one on the album. There's a lot of cowbell going on. You can never have too much cowbell, as you all know. And I really enjoy the chorus on this one. And it's very reminiscent of my favorite song of Monster, And my favorite song of Monster was that Eric Singer song, I love rock and roll. It was called All for the Love. Yeah, I love the groove in that song. And I think the groove is very similar in this song. It's just a nice groove throughout the song. Great vocals from Peter. Great song. If you haven't heard this song in a long time, go and check it out. It's a great tune.
Awesome. Yeah, for the multimedia, I've gone with some demos today just because, cool. You know, everyone's got the albums and perhaps not everyone's heard the demo. Next up is the lead-off single, the first single Peter released as a solo artist by myself. Whose was that?
That was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
But why?
Why? Well, that
why?
I think it's a great song, and it was a fitting song at the time after leaving Kiss. So I think it's just a beautiful song. I really like it. I wouldn't have started off the album with that, though. Would have ended the album with that, but
I
do enjoy that.
It sure took some balls from Peter to have the first song after Kiss without drums. There's no drumming on that song, and that's the song that opens up the album. That was
like a ballad.
Yeah, and no drums at all.
Yeah, I kind of figured in Mask of Stare when I did that book that, you know, they picked that because it was like Shandy, you know, so two songs of a similar vein.
Yeah.
And Beth, for that matter. All right, next up is, I'm going to skip down the list so we don't just get rid of all of Daniel's picks in one go. Do You Know What I Mean? And this has always been one of my favorite Peter Criss songs. It's a demo from the early Criss era. I think he did it with Mark St. John in the Tree as well. Here's a bit of that song. Wrong one. All right, I'm not playing all of these, but that's a cover of Lee Michaels' 1971 hit single.
Yeah.
Always love that. The vibe, the attitude, the anger. It's got a little bit of the same anger that Ain't None of Your Business has. So anyone got anything on that or move on?
I love the original. It's just a very good song, so it's a good choice.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right, next up is the one that I prematurely played. Down. Whose was that?
That was me.
You again. Oh, that's a surprise.
I always loved that song off of his 78 solo album. I think it's one of the better songs off the album, and I just think it's a dang good song, and sung well, produced well. It's catchy. I mean, I like the mood of it. So, yeah, I really love that song. I'm surprised no one else picked that, actually.
Well, there's a lot to choose from. So
there is.
Cat and catchy. All right. Next up, one vote. Good Times from the Criss Cat number one album.
Yeah, that's me. That's actually the single song from that album that is similar to the ones he released in 1982. I think it's... He tried to be so tough and hard at times on Cat One and failed a bit. But this is a throwback. This could have been on Out of Control or Let Me Rock You and would have fit right in there. So I always liked that one. Very self-biographical as well. He writes a lot about his own life on his album, and this is one of those songs. Kind of a nice, soft tune that you should check out if you have forgotten about it. Good times.
Yeah. Next is, I'm actually surprised this one makes the list, Hard Luck Woman.
You're surprised? That was
I'm
me.
Surprised. Well, I'm not surprised at you, but I'm surprised it makes the list.
You're surprised it makes the list? I love that song. I think it's
You're the only one, clearly, who loves it.
I've always loved it. I think it was the right choice as a single. Perfect. I'm glad Paul didn't sing it because I think Paul singing it is not, it takes it down a level. It's just his voice doesn't fit that song. It does fit so much like the Rod Stewart thing, which Paul was doing when he wrote the song. It's a great written song. And Peter's, you know, gravelly voice was perfect for that song. So, hey. I think that's a great. I don't know how anyone could not pick that song. So I don't know what's wrong with some of these Kiss fans here.
Hey, Lonnie, because you did so well, we finally get to you. This is Lonnie's pick. The one song only Lonnie picked. Hooked on Rock and Roll. Yeah. Lonnie, take it away.
I figured it was Hooked on Rock and Roll, and you told me it was only the one. I don't know.
That's a good one.
I like that one. It's a fun song on a solo album, and I couldn't help. But pick it. It's fun. I knew that'd be my one pick.
You know, it could be the one song that has one of the best lyrics in it. Vaccinated with a Victrola needle, am hooked on rock.
Right. Yeah.
That's a great line. Yeah,
I was just about to say that same thing, Mark. You know what a great lyric that is. So, yeah. Well, only Lonnie put it on his list. So let's go back to the D's and. Whose was this?
That was one of my picks. What a perfect disco rocker for the early 80s. It's like Peter Criss's I Was Made for Loving You. I like the beat in that one. And the chorus sticks. It's very catchy. So if you haven't checked out Destiny from... Which album was this from?
Let Me Rock You.
Let Me Rock You as well, yeah. So there's another gem on that album, so go and check it out. Just a cool... you feel it in the body, you want to hit that club and that dance floor and the neon lights when you hear this song. Wow.
You know, I can literally see Travolta with the open shirt and the crucifix.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, dancing around there. But I got to say, Julian, fantastic selection of that Christmas background whenever you show these songs. I love it.
No, that's something I knocked out just for the video. That's Christmas in Brooklyn in the 50s, according to AI.
Okay.
So no originality. So some other artist did a great job before AI stole it. All right. So Destiny, co-written by Charlie Midnight, for anyone who remembers who that is. All right. Next up. Oh, it's me. This is actually a song from the new album. And I fell in love with the song the first time I heard it. It's In the Dark. It's just got an outrageously sexy bass line. Peter's vocal is fantastic on it. Everything about that song just grabbed me. It's currently my number one pick from the new album. And because the new album's just been released, it's fresh in the mind, and it just went on my list today. So absolutely outrageously good. Hopefully other folk will get a chance to hear that soon. All right, next song up with one vote only was In Trouble Again. Raise your hand, Daniel.
Yeah, it's mine as well. In Trouble Again.
Daniel's in trouble again.
Yeah, I'm in trouble again. Another one of these Peter Criss autobiographical songs that I really enjoy. And I think it's a great tune. As always, great vocals from Peter. It's almost like those vocals on Hooligan or Baby Driver, that same feel when you hear this one. Simple but cool electric guitar and cowbell once again. I like it. So if you're not familiar with this one, it's kind of similar to a song like Dirty Livin' maybe or something like that. Nice and good tune.
All right, next one. I'm going to assume, well, tell us why Larger Than Life made your list, Ken.
Larger Than Life, yes. Not just because it's a Gene song, which is a good song in itself, but the drums. Everyone thought, oh, the drums on this, there's no way that's Peter. It can't be Peter. That's too good or, you know, whatever. And, you know, Gene pretty much, you know, he said, confirmed that, you know, that is Peter. Peter did do the drumming on this. I think it has a lot to do with the miking and how it was recorded, you know, how he, and, you know, Mark, you know, knows about this stuff. It makes, you know, songs sound bigger, and it's almost Bonhamish, you know, in a way, the way he's, you know, drumming. I just think it's great. It just kind of shows, like, wow, he had it, you know, and lots of times his stuff wasn't mic'd up very strong on a lot of stuff, including live. I think he would have gotten a lot more credit for his drumming. So I think it's a great drumming. It's a little different. It just proves that, you know, he had what it took.
I agree 100%. Great song. The reason why that drum set sounds the way it does, ambient microphones. They're placed around the studio, and that's where you get the natural sort of echo and that big boominess of his drum kit. So never, ever forget to put up some ambient mics, all you people out there that are recording drums.
There you go.
And that's where the room becomes more important as well with the ambient miking, because you get a great room that's, I guess, concrete for the bombastic stuff like Eric Carr. He was on basically concrete floor and all that, so you really get that dense reverb. And I think Peter's
and
in
some
a
wood too
theater. Yeah, so Peter's got a more wide open space in a theater, more designed for sound. So, again, we're not here to talk about engineering and sounds.
Damn.
Can't help myself sometimes. Sorry, Mark. All right, Nothing to Lose, live at Kobo 75. That's a recent release. Whose was that?
That was me.
Him again.
That was me again. I just think
you're not going to get to talk for the rest of the show because all your songs are in the top here.
I'm not going to talk if I put myself on mute again. But Nothing to Lose. He's done a million of these great vocals with Nothing to Lose, but that one stuck out again. You know, it's the same vocals pretty much, but I think he's just having so much fun there. You can see on those vocals on that song. So I just think it's, you know, another proof that he was great live, and he was saying all that stuff really great. And I think I have another song that's going to be on there that I chose too, that's kind of in a way similar.
Yeah, that one's next. She.
Oh, okay.
Keep going, Ken.
Now, the next song that's not on anybody else's list. So She, from Kobo. What I love about this one is he's just going wild on the drums. I mean, he's just doing all these crazy fills and stuff. He's just whacking, you know, so hard on those drums.
He's just
going whacking. Easy.
Well, you know, sorry.
He's got the Kleenex there, too.
Banging? No, I shouldn't say that either. yeah, he's just he's a madman. Yeah, he's a madman on the drums. And right before the break, there's a lot of stuff he was doing on the drums. It was great. And then after that, after the break and stuff, and the way they're kind of doing the vocals, he's doing the background vocals, kind of harmonizing. And you can hear his voice prominent singing in the background. It's just very, very good. He was very good background vocal live. You could really hear it on these this new live tape at Kobo. So, yeah, I really enjoy that, listening to that song.
Well, don't stop now, because yours up again with Shock Me.
So Shock Me. Now, let's go to the next one.
What? So,
Shock Me, yeah, Ace song, of course, great. Rest in peace, Ace, of course. Great song, yeah. This song is another one where kind of like Larger Than Life, where, you know, this is not your typical Peter Criss drumming style. This is kind of outside the box that he usually does, and he does a little bit more, you know, syncopation and other stuff on it. I really always enjoyed the way he handled the drums on this song. I think it was perfect. It sticks out on it, and it actually, you know, I think helps and improves the song, his style that he put on that. So another good one.
Well, so don't stop now. Strange Ways.
Strange Ways. So I guess, sorry about that one. I switched it out because I think you mattered to me on that. But I switched it out because I was picking up food yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday, maybe. And I came out, I got in my car, started the car. Well, push button. And
hashtag blessed.
I know, I'm blessed. That was just a push button. I don't have to turn the key. Push button, and all of a sudden the radio, you know, Sirius Radio comes on, and it's Strange Ways. I'm like, whoa, is that playing off my phone or something? But no, it wasn't. It was, you know, Ozzy's Boneyard or whatever. But I was like, oh, yes. And I love this vocal. I was just listening to it. I was like, his vocal's so good on that. So great. Kind of laid back in a way, but just has a mood to it. Great mood to it. So I said, ooh, I need that on my list. So then I dropped one off my list and then edited it, sent it to Julian. I said, update. There you have it.
Which one did you get rid of?
I got rid of You Matter to Me from a.
See, if you hadn't gotten rid of it, we both would have had one more song that we agreed on, because the next song.
sorry about that.
You again.
To Not Make It is You Matter to Me.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that was my pick, since I didn't get rid of it. But it's strictly for emotional reasons that one was on, because that was performed at the Cutting Room in 2017. And it hadn't been done at the Australian show Peter did. It was done especially for one fan who had flown in from Japan and asked Peter if he would do that song. So he did that song, but it's got such a good vibe to it. When I'm writing, I still love listening to the 1978 Peter Criss solo album, because it's just a bit more mellow. It's good music for doing something focused, and it's just good music that keeps you happy, or me happy in this case. Walk the Line. Someone likes that. Chris,
good. Somebody else. Phew.
Yeah, that cat number one. That was you.
Yeah, I like it. I thought that the riff was pretty cool. If I'm not mistaken, Ace is on that one as well, with Peter on that song. So that also gave it an extra bit of razzmatazz there. I liked it. I think it's one of his better, you know, hard rocking songs. I know Daniel said that he tries to be a little too heavy on that record, but I think it's still within the border of being still believable and not too forced. So I did like that song quite a bit compared to some of the other songs.
Yeah, I don't think he tried to be too heavy. I think he was trying to be contemporary.
So
Daniel was surrounded by. He was surrounded by a bunch of young guys in their 20s, really early 20s. So there was no way they were going to do 50s rockabilly or rock and roll, you know, 60s style. They were playing what they knew. All right, last one with only one vote. Where Will They Run?
I guess that might be...
That was you.
Yes.
You.
Where Will They Run From Here? Cool electric piano on that one. Really cool electric piano. Some of the keyboard effects are so, how do you say, old-fashioned, or how I don't know really how to say
it.
Dated, exactly. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. They are dated, much like a lot of keyboard effects on Dynasty. If you listen to that closely, you can hear a lot of strange stuff. But I kind of enjoy those sounds. They are so dated, so they're kind of fun to hear. Someone thought this was a good idea back in the day. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. There's some stuff on here that's maybe it shouldn't be here. The saxophone, for example. I always think of that guy in the E Street Band, you know, that big black guy coming out for 30
Clarence
seconds.
And
yeah, exactly. Sometime during the 80s, they thought this was such a great idea to have saxophone solos. I never got that. But I like the bass in this one. Very playful bass. So go and listen to the song and listen carefully to the bass line. Very cool bass line. And, of course, it's one of his classic themes, Peter Criss. Here I am, standing alone. He's singing a lot about that, being on his own and trying to make it. So I like it when it's, you know, autobiographical. Great tune.
Yeah, I really appreciated your list focusing in on Out of Control and Let Me Rock You. Great albums, well worthy.
Thanks.
Being revisited. All right, who had 100,000 years alive? Two of us.
I did.
Lonnie.
I did. How can you not have 100,000 years with that drum solo right in the middle of it? How can you not? I mean, that's what...
Yeah.
I mean, Peter is just on top of his game. And Ken did have... We were giving Ken a hard time, but Ken did have some good selections with some of that stuff that was on those box sets recently. But 100,000 years off alive just sticks out of my mind. Because that drum solo on there is just incredible. And it just... It highlights Peter so well. And I had to have it on my list as far as favorite Peter Criss songs or you know, Peter Criss moments. Definitely.
Well, I also had it, and there's a wonderful video on the art of guitar for playing parts of that solo, and again it illustrates ghost notes and a lot of the techniques that, you know, many people thought were phaser or other, you know, things done in mix from the, what is it, the sound desk. But there's a lot of technique involved in that, and just the energy of that drum solo. I'm like, I'm having 100,000 years in here. And I would have had some multimedia for this if I had a little bit more time today. It's just signature Peter Criss drumming live. And it's a high point for the Kiss Alive album and all the live shows from that period. Just absolutely freaking fantastic. Two people had Baby Driver. Raise your hands, guys. Go for it, Mark.
Love Baby Driver. Mainly because of his vocals. I mean, from a songwriting perspective, it's not the most, you know, well thought out song structurally. But I mean, his voice is, you know, always a thing that can take such a simple song and make it that much better, because he has such feel and such gravel and emotion in it that anytime, you know, you give him something to sing, it just makes it that much better. I mean, what's that old saying? He can sing the telephone book and make it sound good, right? So it's a great song in that manner. I mean, sure, there could have been better parts added to it. They could have did other things to it. But, you know, a lot of us hear Baby Driver when it comes on and we smile and we enjoy it. I don't know many people who skip it. So I've always enjoyed it.
Who else had it?
I had it as well. Yeah, I mean, it's just a it's just a head bobbing type of tune, and just kind of has a great groove to it. And I love his scratchy vocals on it. You know, he sounds great on it, and it's I mean, rock and roll over. I mean, we sing its praises all the time, but then, you know, it just fits in so well. And oh, here's a rocking Peter song in the middle of it when, you know, they're trying to showcase Peter as with the ballad type thing. And oh yeah, Peter can still bust out a great rocking tune right in the middle of that album. So, and it's a great groove to it. I had to have it on my list.
That's a good song. I agree.
Not as memorable as Shock Me, though, for Ken, when you think of Peter Criss.
Kiss after this. Oh, hey, you're still here, watching or listening. Why don't you hit that subscribe button or click the like one? And if you want even more, click on the join button on YouTube. Thanks for your support.
All right, there's a good comment that still just here. Came in. He shines on Baby Driver as well. Yes, he does. The whole band shines on Rock and Roll Over. Yeah. But Peter had a very signature style of rock and roll, which was a nice contrast. All right, next up with two votes, two selections, is Bad Reputation. I was watching a live show from Chris this morning, hearing this stuff live. A lot of it sounds a lot better live, for my taste. Who had that?
I did.
Lonnie Race.
Mark and I again. You know, I enjoy Chris Catt, number one. I mean, I bought it like really early, like right when it came out. Because, not right when it came out, but you know, pretty early. I mean, in '95 type of thing, I guess. Because you know, he was doing the Bad Boys tour and it was coming here, and you know, I had to get that to get ready for the show. And it just strikes, I think, like core memories, I think, for me, like getting ready for that show and listening to songs off that album, and Bad Reputation is one of the highlights on there. And I love his screaming vocals on there. It's really good, and you know, very, very enjoyable for me. It's what, you know, when I think of Peter Criss solo, that's one of the songs that really sticks out.
Yeah. I have to agree with Lonnie. Much like Lonnie, I also got her pretty early on too. My friend was a really big diehard Kiss fan, and he bought everything whenever it came out. So he had Cat One in his car. I remember asking him, I go, "Is this Peter Criss?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's his new album." And I was pleasantly surprised, because I didn't really like Out of Control and Let Me Rock You too much back then. I thought that they were sort of, you know, soft rockish. And then when I heard this, it was a little bit more, you know, harder rocking, and so immediately I tended to gravitate toward it a lot more than the other two records did. So I mean, I like a lot of the material on this album, so to me it's a winner in my opinion.
It seems like a lot of people like that album a lot, because I made a poll the other day on my YouTube channel and got like 600 votes, and 50% voted for that album, and it was a clear-cut winner among the solo albums. I was a bit surprised.
Yeah, I think it's been forgotten a little bit, that Criss album and the EP. It was reissued in recent years, and it came out in Japan with some of the bonus tracks from the EP added onto it, which was a very neat release to get. So, yeah, another one from the Criss album is up next, with two of us selecting it, Blue Moon Over Brooklyn, which is a gorgeous song. Who had that?
I did. I have to agree with Julian, a gorgeous song, and it really stands out on that record as probably my favorite song. It's a song about grief. He talks about when he lost his mother, I believe, and it's a really sad song, and he managed to put together a pretty good lyric to this one. So if you want to feel grief and feel down, this is the perfect song. I mean, it's a really sad song, really sad song. It won't get you happy and stuff like that, but it's a great feel in the song. Very good vocals from Peter, and I think it's my favorite off that album.
Yeah, it's a very well written song. It's performed beautifully. Peter's sincerity and emotion comes through. I had it as well. There's a song very similar to it in ways on the new album called Murder. it's not as touching and sentimental as Blue Moon, but it's got some stylistic similarities.
Remind you,
Blue Moon. Yeah, live it was good. Demo of it is really good. And that one dated back, I think, to one of the early incarnations of the band with when Phil Narrow was a member of the lineup. So,
Which year is that, Julian?
91, 92.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very early on. All right, next up, two people selected Dirty Livin'. Raise your hands. Yeah. All right, Ken, you've been quiet for a little bit, and you're in
a little bit. I went away for a while. Dirty Livin', I think, is one of his best written songs. I like the whole vibe of it, the feel of it, of probably Mark's going to say this too, the New York street feel of the song. And it has a, you know, it's a disco-ish kind of beat to it, of course, but I think it's just a really good song, great vocal. I really, really like it. I think the first time I listened to it, when I first got the album, you know, I wasn't excited about it, but it grew on me a lot. A few listens, I remember, and I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I got to agree. It's a great song. Again, that New York feel is very prominent. In fact, it's probably one of the ones that has the strongest New York feel on it, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, and like the, you know, traffic in the city is getting me down and all that. Like, it's very, very much shows the whole vibe of New York City and how it can be on a day-to-day basis. And I think that that song really fit the whole feel of the record much more than some of the other songs I think that he demoed for it. And just amazingly well done. I mean, his vocal again is so strong on that. And the drumming, while it's still kind of simple stuff in there, I mean, it's still great. It's still Peter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. A nice bouncy rock and roll song.
Yeah.
With a little bit of darkness in the lyrics. All right. Who had this one? I could just see it playing that. That's got a very Beatly guitar line in it. Get Back era Beatles. Mark, that was you.
Yeah, I've always loved Hooligan. I mean, whenever I think of Hooligan, I keep seeing Paul Stanley with the double neck guitar, because he always seemed to have that guitar on him when they did that song. Capoed really high up for as well, which was really interesting. But that demo is so interesting. I've never heard that demo. When I just listening to it now, I can envision, you know, the band there, and then, like, you know, four guys behind them spinning trumpets on their fingers, and, you know, it almost sounds so R&B-ish compared to how they kind of rocked it up on Rock and Roll Over, right? which is my preferred love version. That. I mean, the demo version is cool, but, you know, I love the version on Rock and Roll Over, and watching him play it live as well, like sing, drumming and singing. Fantastic. I think he does a great job with that song.
Yeah, it was on my list as well. There's something really fun. It's throwback, good time, rock and roll. Again, there's some songs that are similar in feel to that. Rock and roll, lead off song on the new album is in a similar sort of vein to that. So that's just pure throwback rock and roll with a good vibe, and obviously performed during the Love Gun Alive, just the Love Gun tour. Has it been booted, I think, by then. So, great stuff. All right, that's not the last. Two people selected Let It Go. Let It Go.
Yeah, I selected it. I can start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was waiting for someone else to...
Yeah, it's Mark.
Oh, I was waiting for some AI or something, some music to come up. Okay, Let AI. It Go. I think it's a great song. I mean, again, if I'm not mistaken, this is another. Isn't this a Cat One song again? I think.
No, let me rock you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the opener. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So again, that's a Peter seemed to have much like Kiss. He had a good knack for having a good opening track to his albums, you know, and this is another great example of that. I always thought that it was very catchy. The guitar playing is really good. And of course, his vocals on this are a standout again, just great singing. And again, I think that's the thing I kind of wonder sometimes if that's the one thing that Peter Criss fans missed when he left Kiss. Like, that was the most noticeable thing missing when he was out of the equation was his vocals.
I think this is a better opener than he had on Out of Control. As Ken said, he opened Out of Control with a tune that might have been better later on the album. I think this is the perfect starter for this album, the perfect intro. It's a disco rocker once again. And if you look at the lyrics to this one, it's so Peter Criss lyrics, even though he hasn't written the song. I mean, it's about betrayal. It's about, I mean, you're doing everything right, but you keep getting stabbed in the back by the people you work with. That's what this song is about. And I think it's so... Maybe that's one of the reasons why he picked it. He could envision the stuff happening in the lyrics. So and I like the background vocals as well. I think there are some ladies doing some background vocals, and that's always nice in Kiss or Peter Criss songs. They've used it from time to time. Ace Frehley did it on one of his solo songs there on his solo album, and I think Paul Stanley might have had it on Move On or something. And also on a song on Heart in the Shade. I always liked that when they had just like one song with women singing. It's a cool take on rock and roll. So what's that sound that keeps coming on?
That's football.
Someone having guests.
Football, right, Lonnie?
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, backing vocals have always been a core part of Peter's solo stuff, but it's also an important part of a lot of Kiss songs. They use the Kissettes, Hilda Harris. I always can't remember all of their names. Ray Simpson and Valerie, I think, was the other one. I can't remember. But, you know, on Destroyer, on Rock and Roll Over, on Love Gun, you know, and then on solo albums, on Unmasked. It just helps rock and roll to have those counter voices. So, all right, let's move on. Another song from Let Me Rock You. Who are the two that pick Some Kind of Hurricane?
Me, once again, Some Kind of Hurricane, a Russ Ballard song. Maybe Peter tried to get a hit, much like Ace Frehley had a few years earlier with New York Groove, written by the same guy. What I liked mostly about this song was probably the guitars. They were the first time I heard this one. Well, recently I listened through the album for the first time in a long time. So the guitars grabbed me immediately off the bat because they were very similar to Judas Priest guitars. I was thinking about Judas Priest when I heard this one. And it's a really rocking tune and it fits the album real well. So this is Peter rocking it out. And I like to have some blend on an album with rockers and more softer songs when it comes to Peter Criss, and this is a cool rocker.
Yes, like I also had this, and the guitars are a little bit similar to Stained Glass era Priest, and that's when it dated from. It was, I think, from 1977 that Russ originally cut it himself and released it, you know, more than likely just for publishing, and Peter picking it up really transformed it into a pretty powerful rocker. So, you know, going into the Russ Ballard can of songs didn't quite work out for him on that album, but then again, it didn't get released in America, North America anyway. So very, very cool song in my mind. All right, we're at the last of the songs with only two in agreement, and it's There's Nothing Better, The Reject from Dynasty. Who had that?
I did.
Me too.
Nice.
Lonnie?
The first time I heard There's Nothing Better was actually the demo that I got on a bootleg, and I was like, wow, this is really good. I'm like, why am I just now hearing this? Why wasn't this on Dynasty? And like, and then it wasn't until, you know, a little while more down the road that I, you know, got Peter, dove into Peter's solo stuff. I'm like, oh, hear that. There's that song again. I thought the demo from Dynasty is really good. And I think it's, you know, there's not that many songs on Dynasty. It's too bad it didn't make the cut, but I'm glad we we got it on his solo album. It's a great song. It really truly is. I love his vocals on it.
Yeah, I think it's thrown the demo reel up for that on the screen for people who could see it recorded in at the end of 78, January 79, four songs. Daniel.
Yeah, I think it's too bad he didn't get more songs on Dynasty, Peter, because he had some good demos for this records. I could see Out of Control on Dynasty or this song or you know, he could have had two or at least two songs, but maybe even three on Dynasty, if there were enough room on the album for them, so to speak. There's nothing better. What sticks out for me is by far the chorus in this one. I mean, after you've heard this song, you start humming that chorus right after you've heard the song. It sticks with you. So it's such a great chorus. I wish it would have ended up on a Kiss album, but it's still cool on this one. The intro guitar thing there is sort of reminiscent of Ace Frehley, and I wonder if that is taken from... well, it sounds like Ace, but it has to be someone trying to mimicking Ace.
It's Stan.
It's Stan. Okay, it sounds real cool. The piano is pretty fun, and this is a happy song, so it's nice to hear Peter being happy in one of my favorite Peter Criss songs, because most of the time he's, you know, feeling betrayed and stuff like that. So it's a really fun song, really up-tempo, you know, cool song.
I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. When they do a Dynasty Deluxe box set, it is going to be killer, because obviously you've got these four. I can't wait to hear those, even though I've got the reel transferred in proper Universal Music quality from the multi-tracks. Would be fantastic. Then you've got the five songs Ace brought to the sessions. Gene brought a whole boatload of songs as well. The only outlier is whether there are demos, not the work tapes of them thrashing through Sure Know Something and I Was Made for Loving You, but whether Paul had any demos of his songs. I'd love to hear a demo of Magic Touch. Particularly, you know, so it just illustrates that Peter and Ace were growing leaps and bounds in confidence as well, because, you know, Ace had five songs, three were used, and Peter sadly only had one of those used. And to be perfectly honest, three of those are very, very good and would have fit on a Kiss album in 79 or 80. All right. Now we're into the threes. Songs with three of us agreeing. First up is Black Diamond. Someone else go.
I love Black Diamond. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's my favorite Kiss song, period. Like if anybody asks me at any time what my favorite Kiss song is, I never have to think about it. It's Black Diamond. It has everything that it needs to be a great song. Great, great guitar playing, great, great lyrics, great vocals by Peter on this. And I mean, he's in full emotive singing mode on there. It's nice and raspy, and his drumming is outstanding on it. You know, I mean, obviously the live version to me, I think, is much more a better standout than the first debut album version. But I think that he does a good version of it on the demo with Eddie Kramer when they did those early tracks. I think that that version is also pretty standout on there. I mean, I think that I'd actually say that I'd like the demo version better than the debut album version of that song. But it to me is a masterpiece. I think that it's funny that to me, that's the gold standard I base all the rest of the Kiss songs on, and it happened so early in her career. It's just incredible.
Yeah, Lonnie, you also had that.
I did. It's a staple Peter Criss song. I'm surprised only three of us have it, actually, because it's one. It's such a great song. We always sit up here and you know, sing Black Diamond's praises, how great it is, and well, who's the lead vocalist on it? It's Peter. So it was one of the first songs I thought of when I was making this list. I mean, how could I not have Black Diamond with Peter Criss on lead vocals?
Yeah, I also had it, but that demo version, you know, respect to Paul Stanley for giving up that song and letting Peter sing it, because it wasn't his plan to do that. It was Eddie Kramer who, you know, persuaded him to let Peter take a stab at it after Peter said he could, you know, totally kill the song. And he he murdered it. He absolutely hit a home run with and took his opportunity to prove the occasion. I am really curious, though, again, talking about box sets and what ifs, if there is a 73 vocal version with just Paul singing, I'd be really interested to hear what that would have sounded like, because that song's whole character now is about Peter, you know, after Paul sets it up. So what a different song it might be, and I would love to hear that possibility. All right, next up is... Only three of us had Beth. Two of you are hooligans. who had Beth? Mark, get us started.
I think people would be probably surprised that I picked Beth, considering it's from that album. And I would. I'm going to say.
I won't even say its name.
I won't even say it. I won't even acknowledge its existence. But what I will say is that. As much as I've heard that song a million times, and if I never hear Beth again, that's fine for the rest of my life. But it is a masterpiece. It is a well-orchestrated song. Bob Ezrin did a great job with the orchestra, and you know Peter definitely wore his heart on his sleeve on the vocals on this song. You can definitely hear the emotion in it. You can definitely hear that he wanted to make a statement with it. And let's face it, if they didn't put that song out, Destroyer would not have been a success. It would have been a disaster. I mean, look how happy they were when they put that out and it started doing good because of it. So hats off.
It would have made Mark a lot happier.
Yes, it would have. But I'm glad that Peter had his moment in the sun.
Hey, Mark, for the newbies in the audience, remind us, who's the producer of that song?
Mr. Bob Ezrin is the...
I'm surprised you said his name.
I'm in a Christmas mood.
Merry Christmas from Mark. Yeah. All right, Lottie, you had it as well.
Oh, yeah, I had that. I mean, I made my list, and I'd stopped like, well, wait, how could I not put Beth on here? Beth is signature Peter. It's signature Peter Criss. You know, it's not just a signature Kiss song, but it's a signature Peter Criss song. It's his masterpiece, you know. It's what he's known for, and like you know, we clamored for years. Oh, you know, do something to, you know, together. You know, and unfortunately, that time has passed. But you know, and we said, well, Peter could just do Beth. If Peter just did Beth with him one more time, oh, how great would that be? Because that's the song you think of when you think of Kiss and Peter Criss. So it has to be Beth.
Yeah, I also picked it, but I was a little bit colored again listening to that Chris show this morning. They were doing it acoustically, and on the tour, just watching the video of Peter doing it, he was using the woodblock that he had started to try and use when Kiss did MTV Unplugged, the tongue block, and it, you know, they had a good arrangement for it live. Acoustically as well, so it was fresh on the mind this morning. But come on, that song is so important to Kiss's history. It's so important to Peter's history. You know, the Alive version, doing it for with the symphony. There have been so many massive moments about that song that to not have it on my list would have been a crime.
I think it suffers from the same sickness as Rock and Roll Night for us Kiss fans. We've heard it so many times that we cannot stand it anymore. I think there's a cool version on one of his solo albums. I focused more on his solo albums, and there's a version on Cat 1 that's really beautiful. More like, you know, like they are sitting around a campfire and playing it on acoustic guitars. Mm-hmm. I prefer that version, but probably because I've heard the original so many times.
You just nailed it, Daniel. That's exactly what they were going for with that version, and the one that they were doing live when they did the acoustic part of the set on the Chris tour. They wanted to be a little like jamboree jam session, not, you know, an ultra serious one. They wanted that campfire vibe.
Cool.
When I started my list, I thought, you think immediately Beth. That was like one of the first songs, and I just said, you know, it's so important and everything, but I just can't put it. I knew other people would put it. And just like Black Diamond, too, is another one I thought I should put on there because it's my favorite Kiss song. But I didn't put it on there because I thought there were some other things I need to, you know, make a point of. So those are obvious, though, choices. Beth is very important. Good song, great song. And Black Diamond, of course. So I just want to throw that out there. They came to my mind right away, but I just ended up like, you know, so I know they're going to get up on the list. I'm going to choose, you know, a little bit differently.
All right, two songs left. Were any of these a unanimous pick? And if so, what was it? All right. This one, shockingly, just like Beth, only had three of us in agreement. I Can't Stop the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about this song an awful lot since 2017 when Peter did this song live at the Cutting Room. Even with the slight issues with the first verse and the emotion of the occasion, hearing this one live, this is an absolutely spectacular. I think in some ways it's a better written song than Beth. It uh-huh. really is an absolutely fantastic song, performance. Musically and performance vocally, it's just chock full of all of that emotion that he delivers so well. Who else had this?
I had it.
You get to talk again.
Yeah, see, that's why I did that. I Can't Stop the Rain. Yeah, I think it is better than Beth, in my opinion. I just love the song, the emotion of it. The vocal is just great. It's so great on it. The production is also very good. So I just think it's a very well written song, one of the best songs on his 78. I'm getting confusing myself here now. But yeah, the 70 album, on the second side. But yeah, great song. Great song. Love it.
Yeah, Lonnie, you also had it.
Yeah, it is so incredibly written. It is as good of a ballad really as Beth is. It's so masterful. It's so great, and it ends that solo album of his so perfectly. Again, I'm surprised only three of us have it. It's one of his best.
Yeah, well, there was an awful lot to pick from today, and it's surprising in some ways when you think about Peter Criss specifically, as when you're talking about singer, songwriter, drummer, a musician, that whittling it down, we get to our final song of today's conversation, which is not a unanimous pick. Only 4 out of 5 of this panel chose Out of Control as one of their favorite Peter Criss songs. We didn't do any rankings on this, but it's also a very fitting one for what it represents in many ways. Who hasn't gotten to speak for quite a long time? Daniel.
Well, Out of Control was left off Dynasty, unfortunately, but I think that demo version is probably my favorite. But it's pretty good on Out of Control as well, the album Out of Control. By far his best vocals on Out of Control, I think. Once again, you get that 70s Peter Criss, Hooligan, Baby Driver, the raspy sounding voice. There's a lot of things going on in these songs. You have slide guitars, cowbells, and a guitar solo that's once again very similar to Ace's style. It's sort of a, how do you say it, Mark? Staccato? Do you say it like that? Did it? Sort of a firehouse thing. Yeah.
Yeah, staccato, yes.
Yeah. So I like that as well. And immediately when I heard this one on Out of Control, I was a bit sad that it didn't end up on Dynasty. It would have fitted that album perfectly. Cool lyrics as well. And overall, just a great song. And I'm glad more of you thought about this song when you made your list, because it's a cool rocker.
Yeah, I totally agree. I find that whole riff kind of catchy. That dan 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 dan. That whole part there is very, very. It hooks you in immediately. That's why it's called a hook. But that sound of the piano, for some reason, when I first heard it the first time, it almost reminded me of Supertramp. That sound of the piano, but it was very, again, very catching. His voice fits perfectly. And like Daniel said, there's a lot of production going on. Slide and this and cowbell and blah, blah, blah. It's like just everything's in there. But sometimes that can hinder a song. But in this song, it definitely didn't. It actually made it that much better. And then you put Peter on top and everything is fantastic. So I definitely think it's a standout song.
Who else?
Yeah, like There's Nothing Better. I heard the demo of this song before I heard, you know, what actually ended up on Peter's album, and I loved it right away as soon as I heard it. Like, wow, this is really good. Again, why isn't this on Dynasty? This is so good. And then, oh, well, okay, there's the release version of it. So, but it's great. It really is. I love Peter's just raspy voice. It's so great, and it's perfect on this song. Great song. Again, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised there's no unanimous votes on any of these. It's crazy.
I like it. I like it. However, everyone's not in lockstep today. So, yeah. You know, we've had a whole bunch of songs, you know, get to be focused. I mean, I didn't think we'd be talking about that many Chris songs from the Cat One album, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, I also had Out of Control. How can I not? You think about the four songs that Peter brought in to the Dynasty sessions and how they only used three. They only used one. Two of the other ones, Out of Control and There's Nothing Better, could easily have been transformed into Kiss songs in my mind. Whereas the two songs that were left off from Ace's five-song demo weren't really fully ripe. So it's under, you know, not many people have heard those, but it's understandable why those were ignored. And for the, those who don't know those titles, it's Backstage Pass and Insufficient Data. Completely underbaked, though one did get part of it recycled for Unmasked, becoming part of the music of one of Aza's other songs. But Peter's songs, those are fully fledged. They're fully arranged, ready to go, and he sure made them cook on Out of Control when he went solo. And it was understandable. You know, it's like, why are you leaving these great songs off a Kiss album? You can see why, you know, that whole period... What's up with my freaking camera? Am I in the fog here?
Yeah.
Now I'm knocking my camera over. So, you know, we've gone through 32 fantastic songs today, yeah, celebrating Peter Criss on his birthday. Go off, play your favorite Peter Criss stuff, you know, and enjoy him today as he celebrates his 80th birthday. But that's really it. Anyone got any final words for their Peter Criss picks before we go?
Yeah, just really quickly, I'm just going to say that I think it's good every once in a while to do something like this, where you take a discography of an artist that you don't maybe listen to too often and go through it and realize that you probably like a lot more of the material than you think you did. So I'm glad we did this, because I think I found a few more Peter Criss songs that I liked that I didn't even realize I liked.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think I'll just say that there's you don't think, when you think of Peter Criss, you think, oh, there's just a certain amount of songs only. But that's not the case. There's a lot of great contributions he did within Kiss, and then out of Kiss, a lot of great songs that he recorded over the years. So there was a lot to choose from. That's why we got such a you know, varied list.
Yeah, I think it's useful to do one of these shows, mostly because you can shine a light on songs that people might not have thought about for a very long time, and now they might go and give that song a second chance, and maybe they found something they like, because a lot of Peter Criss's music is not maybe your kind of music when you're in your 20s. But if you wait a few decades, suddenly you can appreciate them in a whole different way, I think.
Yeah, yep. There's really some underappreciated stuff. And it was a fun exercise this week to dive in and listen to a lot of those songs that maybe I don't listen to as often or as often as I should, because there are some really good gems out there. We should do something like this again, because it was a fun exercise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ken recommended an episode subject similar to this that I think we'll do before the end of the year. You know, a little bit of it, just a casual, non-serious, just let's talk about music and songs that we like at the moment episode. But for now, You know, I want to thank everyone who's taken the time to join us today live and chime in with their comments. Again, it's always a fun part of the show to see what folks think about what we're saying and what their selections are as well. If we don't see you before the next show, you know, wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And those celebrating Hanukkah now, happy Hanukkah to you as well. You know, but for now, that's going to be it. Get back to your football and to your sports. Tottenham and Liverpool kicked off a while ago. I've been checking to see if there's any score. So we all got other things to do. I'm guilty. Absolutely guilty too.
Sorry, Lonnie.
But for now, from Mark, myself, Lonnie, Ken, and Daniel, thank you for joining us. And we shall see you next time.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.